Recently on the show, we heard from mother of Thormond McFinn. He is a 5-year-old boy from Balbriggan who has autism. Just before Christmas, his mum received a letter from the HSE telling her that her son must wait until November 2023 for psychological supports. And as it turns out, Helen Nerean's family are not alone, as hundreds of families across the country are in similar positions when it comes to support for their children with autism and additional needs. And our reporter, Barry White, has been speaking to some of those families impacted.
So I'm Emma Murray from Cabra, and I have a young son, he's nearly 5, called Devon. And we're still awaiting a lot of courses for Devon, for if the way his situation is, like, his global development delay. He was diagnosed in 2018, and sure, we're 2021 now, and we're still on the waiting list for the early intervention team. And I'm trying to get placement for school in September for him, and I can't even get his name down in any of the schools because I haven't got any diagnosis yet.
What impact is this having on Devon's life? What impact is this having on you and your family's life?
Well, he's very hard work. Like, it's hard for myself and the kids. I've got 4 other boys living here, and one of them kind of suffers with a lot of anxiety, and Devon has an awful lot of tantrums, and God love him, he doesn't understand why he's having these tantrums. We've no understanding of him because he has fairly few words and he can't explain why. I don't know, maybe he has a pain, or maybe he's just not feeling himself, but because he's not getting the services he needs, I just exactly don't know. And the other children, it's very hard for them, especially the lockdown. We're all in the one home, can't go anywhere, and like, Devon's running up and down his head, locking them and all. He's a lovable child, don't get me wrong, but he's a quite strong child for his age. Like, he's actually a stone heavier than me 9-year-old. That's how big he is. So when he does kind of go on one of his little wobbles, that we might have 2 or 3 of them a day, it's awful. It's awful on the child because he doesn't have any understanding of it.
You're not the only parent in this position. I've been speaking to lots of parents who are in a similar position. Some parents are choosing to go private. For you, is that an option? Is that affordable?
Could go private, don't get me wrong, if I borrowed. But in fairness, I shouldn't have to. It should be given to him. He should be getting what he deserves and what he needs.
But like, is that the situation you're in? If you were to go private, you would have to get a loan?
I'd have no choice. I'd have to do it.
Hi, my name is Porrick Moyles.
And I'm Niamh O'Connor.
And we're just telling you a little bit about our daughter, Juliet May, who was diagnosed with autism privately at around 20 months, and then by the HSC at around 2.5. Juliet May was a beautiful little girl who hit all her milestones all the way up until she was about 1 year old. And roughly around that time, myself and my wife, Niamh, noticed that she was regressing significantly over the course of what seemed to be 4 to 6 weeks. She had gone from saying mama and dada and her letters and her playing with her toys and being excited and animated when we come home from work to effectively almost nothing.
Yeah, she stopped saying anything. She stopped playing with toys, started playing with household objects, loss of eye contact, just little interest in playing. Or, you know, we'd come home and we'd say, hi, Juliet. She wouldn't even turn around to see us. So
it's like she forgot who she was or didn't know who she was. We came home one day and we clapped behind her loudly just to see if there was any reaction. And that was kind of when we first said to ourselves, OK, there's something not right here and we need to go and get this checked. We went and got it checked privately first just to see what the results might be or if they could give us any sort of guidance, because the wait time for the HSC was so long. When we did get her checked privately, they were unsure because she was so young. So we waited for the HSC. They diagnosed her with autism, quite severe, particularly around speech and language, occupational therapy and physical therapy. They said she would need all of it. They had given us very grim outlook for Juliet May's potential.
So, Padraig, Niamh, speech and language, occupational therapy, physical therapy, have you been able to access those services through the HSE for your daughter?
So, once Juliet was diagnosed, we started to search rapidly for different ways that we would be able to treat her and help her development. It did take us a little while to get used to the fact that she was autistic and understand what that truly meant. And of course, the HSC were doing their best to be able to help us as much as they possibly can, given the circumstances that are in there. Juliet, unfortunately, would only get speech and language, occupational therapy, physiotherapy, maybe once every four to six months, if she was lucky. And quite often when she would get that, we felt that she wasn't the same girl that they were looking at, they had seen previously, like 6 months previous to that, primarily because we had gone private. We were fortunate that we had money saved away for, I guess, that rainy day. And we had spoken to somebody who sits on the board of autism in America. And his single advice was, your daughter is now in college. And that's the way you have to look at it. Everything that you would ever save for her to go to college needs to be spent now. Because the one thing about autism, he said, was, and research shows, the biggest influence you can have in your child's life is between the ages of 2 and 5. So Niamh and I simply invested everything we had into Juliet, from ABA therapists to speech and language therapists, occupational therapists, everything we could possibly do, we did for her at that time.
Hiya, my name is Karina. I'm from Crumlin and I have two children. My eldest boy is Paddy and he's 6 and he has an autism diagnosis. So Paddy is a fantastic little boy. He's always very, very happy and he was always a very content baby and he still is. He's my absolute world. Unfortunately, his diagnosis with autism, it does have its deficits where his communication levels are impaired, so he finds it really hard to express how he's feeling. His expressive language will be very low and what he understands. So he may not understand a lot of instructions that you might give him or questions that you might ask. He still struggles to hold a conversation. He's 6 and a half now. We've done a lot of private speech and language with him, but he would still find it very hard to hold a conversation. For us as a family, that it can be quite upset when you see that he's having a meltdown and that he's getting upset and you're trying to figure out what it is that's upsetting him and he hasn't got the language to tell you what it is that's wrong, and that can be very difficult as a family to try and, you know, as a parent to try and understand what it is exactly that he might be upset over.
Now, Karina, your son Paddy has received some services from the HSE, but you've told me it's nowhere near enough. And it's quite a wait, you're telling me, for the other services that he needs.
We're still waitlisted for a second block of speech and language, and it was never combined. And still to date, he hasn't received any psychology. So I'm glad, because like people, when your son is diagnosed, everybody's like, early intervention, and this is what kind of drummed into you. You know, if you want to give your child the best possible outlook, you know, early intervention is key. And I'm glad that I did go ahead and do privately the speech and language and play therapy and physio as well. So we did a lot of that privately. And it's frustrating that your son is diagnosed or your child is diagnosed and that the interventions aren't being brought forward sooner, that it you know, you have to wait such a long time. So I just feel that I was very fortunate that I was able to go the private route, and I know that's not always the case for every family, but I do think that it is something that, you know, definitely needs to be looked into and that services need to be brought forward to support families and obviously to support the children, because we're now into January of 2021 and Paddy has been diagnosed since 2017 and we still haven't received any psychology, and we've just had one block of speech and language and one block of occupational therapy. So yeah, it's very poor, to be honest.
Certainly is sobering stuff there. That report was by Barry White, talking to those parents of children with autism.